You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today for a study of the daily New Testament reading, the Reverend Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO. Pastor Hawkinson, welcome to His Time.
Well, thank you. It is a privilege and pleasure to be able to be with you. You know, I listen to you very frequently and have always enjoyed the way the Bible study flows so very beautifully and the different guest pastors that you get from all over the United States, all over even the world.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, even
we
the
have
world.
International pastors from time to time. Yeah. Yeah.
After all, it is worldwide, KFUO.
This is true. This is true. Well, it is a joy and a delight of mine to have you in studio today for His Time. You're here every weekday. Well, and on weekends too.
Yeah. I am.
Here at noon for Moments of Assurance. Where folks can tune in and listen to stories and encouragement, the Word of God, and music from Pastor Hawkinson. What do you enjoy most about that program?
Well, I just talk from my heart to the heart of the listener, which is my goal, to be able to communicate encouragement and strength from God's precious Word. And that's where it comes from. I'm just a communicator. The strength comes from the Lord's Word.
Indeed.
And, of course, ultimately in church with His holy sacraments. But here in the Lord's Word, you have the privilege of taking a look at it, at a section of Scripture, like I do with Moments of Assurance, and just saying, hey, this is what it means to me, and this is how I want to help you with it today. And then, I combine some trivia and some humor. I mix a little bit of humor in there because I think that's an important part of life. I really do believe that. And if you can laugh once in a while, it's as my doctor told me, it is very good for your health. So, all right. It's kind of a part of my personality that I laugh almost no matter what. And because, you know what, Andy? You can't kill a Christian, and for the Christian, there is no ending point to life. Sure, the body goes in a casket. So what? See, that's neither here nor there. St. Paul said, "I desire." Well, it's certainly there; it's in the ground. But as far as you're being here, you're being with the Lord. You're immediately with the Lord, just like with the thief on the cross. So that's what I want to get across to the listener on Moments of Assurance. There are tragedies that happen in life. You know, you get a diagnosis for cancer, or you lose a loved one, lose a child, God forbid. Just like this convict that was at large here in the greater St. Louis area, and New Florence is where it was. They did catch him, fortunately, but he murdered a resident of the town, and everybody knew him. And you can imagine how tragic that was. So people deal with tragedy, and it's my goal to help them and to encourage them with God's Word.
Well, thank you for doing that. For many years, you've been with KFUO for some time now, and
by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, yes,
delivering that good news of Jesus. How long have you been proclaiming the good news of Jesus on the air?
Since 1987.
Wow.
I started out with a gentleman by the name of Jerry Householder, and he and I were a team and did the morning show. And we had a very good time with that. I would comment on the news from the biblical perspective. And then I was host of the Daily Bible Study call-in for a while, a couple years. And then I did an afternoon program as well, and with Gladsome Voice. That's what that was called. Then at the same time, I did some mission work for the Southern Illinois District, started a couple new missions and for the Mid-South District, and I did some parish work, but always with a connection to KFUO. So that's been my privilege, and it has really been my joy. What better than to be able to talk about Jesus Christ and to get it across to many people listening on the air radio. I just can't think of a better way to get the gospel out and hear your program director here. And I know you're excited about the future here, and you've got some plans. And my goodness, the radio station continues to flourish by the grace of God and by the blessing that He has supplied so that the message gets out.
And we are we're grateful for those blessings that we're given the opportunity to proclaim that good news of Jesus. We are studying Mark chapter 14,
Pastor, correct.
Verses 32 through 52 today, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, just by way of background, Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper, and they had finished that meal. And the interesting thing is Jesus foretells Peter's denial. And this is fascinating because when you get into the text, you'll discover that Peter's very, very human and indeed lives up to what Jesus had said. And Jesus predicted that that the disciples would all forsake him and they would flee and run. And they did. So everything that Jesus said would happen did happen. For example, Jesus said, "You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And Peter said, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." Well, he did, ultimately. And he did deny Christ before the cock crowed twice. And he denied three times that he even knew Jesus. He was in the courtyard. Remember that? A slave girl came up. "You were with him. You were with him." And Peter said, "Man, I tell you, I was not." So, I mean, this is, this kind of sets, you get the background they had gone out and they had sung a hymn after the Lord's Supper, and they went out to the Mount of Olives, and that's when Jesus did that little discourse with Peter there, and that sets the stage before they had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, which is a place I would love to be able to see someday in person.
Yeah.
That would really be something. It means olive press. The word Gethsemane means olive press. And there were apparently a lot of olives, a lot of, it was a garden. And it was a location that was separate. It was secluded. It was a nice place where Jesus could go and be alone with his disciples and pray to his heavenly Father.
Mm. Well, let's take a look at that text. But before that, I have to share with our listeners, if you ever picture in your mind host Pastor Mark Hawkinson on Moments of Assurance being as animated as he sounds on the air, he is.
Yes,
it's a good thing we have long mic stands in here, because Pastor Hawkinson is just as animated as he sounds on the air.
I have hit the mic a couple times. I try not to, but the arms and the hands are an extension of the voice.
That's
I
right.
guess you'd say.
That's right. All right, Mark chapter 14, verse 32. "And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.' And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.' And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak.' And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" So that takes us through, verse 42.
Yes.
Let's take a look at this. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Now, you told us that means olive press.
Yes, it does. It was a secluded place not far from Jerusalem. I mean, the proximity was close by, but it was a place where Jesus could go. There was an entrance to it. You go inside of it, and there was a location where he was able to be alone with his disciples, especially his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John. That's what he really wanted. You know, Jesus is 100% man and 100% God in one, but he was in his state of humiliation here, where he didn't always and fully use his God power. Of course, he did in his healing and in the miracles that he performed, but now, not now. And when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he fought the devil using Scripture. He quoted Scripture, but he didn't use his God power. He's not using his God power. He's reaching out as a man like you and I. He needs human support. in addition to praying to his heavenly Father. So he comes into the Garden of Gethsemane. He asks eight of his disciples to just sit down where they were, probably at the entrance, and he takes with him Peter, James, and John into a little bit of a distant area. And according to another account, now there are other accounts here of this section of Scripture, Jesus went about a stone's throw away from his inner circle of disciples, and I looked that up, it's about 30 yards or so when you say a stone's throw, so about 30 yards away. And he... You know, is this too much to ask here? All Jesus said was, you know, he right in front of these disciples, he confessed how he was feeling as a man. He says, my soul, and the word soul refers to the whole person, not just, you know, what's eternal in you and me. My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Well, that's interesting because it's not going to be long before he really does die for the sins of the whole world. You know, a simple request, remain and watch. But they didn't.
And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
Yeah, beautiful. Words really penetrate into a person's heart here when you realize what's going on. You notice it says he fell to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Son of God, God himself, fell to the ground. He was overcome. He knew what was about, that the Scripture had to be fulfilled. He knew what was on deck for him. And if I were Jesus, which I'm sure not, but I mean, I would... You know, look to the future with foreboding and, oh my goodness, how can I go through with this? And in another account, he says his sweat became like great drops of blood. So he knew what was coming, and that's why he wanted just a little human support. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys, the three of you can give me a little. You can watch for a while. And now, when it says Abba, Father, that's an Aramaic expression really there, but what turns out to be in a Greek translation is basically, hello, Dad. He has such a personal relationship with his heavenly Father. He's able to say, you know, hello, Dad, and all things are possible. Remove this cup. The cup refers to what's about to happen, the cup of suffering that he was going to have to. In other words, Jesus is saying, Father, if there's any other way to do this, could we do it? But at the same time, he said those words. At the very same time, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
This phrase, this cup, the cup has significance in biblical history, right?
Yeah, the cup. Oh, well, the Persians had a cup. You know, the different ones had a cup. It is really an allegory or a symbol of either a blessing or a curse. And the cup of blessing, it says in Scripture, the cup of blessing which we bless. You know, and St. Paul says that referring to Holy Communion. A cup of blessing. It is a cup of blessing to receive the Lord's precious blood. But here, the Bible also talks about a cup of wrath. And in this case, Jesus is going to have to drink the Father's wrath because nobody else is going to do it. Only the Son of God, basically God paid himself for the sins of the world. He had to do it. There's nobody else that could have done it other than Jesus Christ. So this cup that he had to drink, you know, symbolized that he had to drink, could only be consumed by Jesus. There's nobody else that could possibly consume it. So Jesus knows what's coming up, and he's saying, Father, is there another way to do this? Is there any other way to do it? And of course, at the same time, he submitted his will to the Father.
Yes, not what I will, but what you will.
That's right, and that's critical. And somebody says, well, then Jesus must not love us that much if he would try to get out of it. No, that's not the point. The point is he's talking as a man. He's just expressing. You know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 130, out of the depths I cry unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. And here basically, you know, Jesus is saying the same kind of thing from the depths of his heart, of his soul, of his very being. He's expressing, Father, is there some other way? I don't know if I can I don't know if I can do this. And so he's just crying out to God from a human standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Hmm. Yeah, kind of interesting there. Peter had just recently said, I'll go with you even to death. Jesus, you know, I'm not one of those. I'm going to go with you even to death. And here, of course, he can't even stay awake for an hour. Interesting play on words for the hour. There's my hour has mm-hmm. not yet come. Now here, you know, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Mm. Two different meanings, but interesting that Jesus used those words there. Watch and pray. Why? Well, the devil, you know, Jesus once told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, you know, when Peter tried to intimate that he could not stand to see Jesus suffer or die when Jesus had just uttered to them his passion predictions. And Peter says, no. And then Jesus said, referred to Peter as Satan at that point. And that, of course, that was a very strong word to give to Peter. And so here, Jesus comes back after praying. He had fallen to the ground. He was crushed. And in the original, it says that he began to be greatly distressed. Hmm. Kind of meaning that you kind of slide into this thing. You're at the opening of the distressing. You slide into it, and then you go down to the very bottom. So he found them, and the first time that he went to the disciples, you could picture them nodding off to sleep. You know, I mean, you're out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's late at night, and it doesn't take much for me to nod off to sleep either. But, you know, Jesus had already exhorted them, watch and pray. So you would think that, considering that the master had spoken, that they would want to follow their master's desires there and to help him and to be moral support for him. But no, they let him down, not once, not twice, but three times.
The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah, yeah. And the word there in the original means eager. The spirit is eager. Excuse me. The spirit is eager to help the Christian person, to help you and me today. Problem is, we have the old Adam, and the old Adam where our flesh is thoroughly corrupt. And therefore, we have a weakness, a definite weakness. And Jesus didn't want them to fall away, to not stay with him. Of course, ultimately, they did stay with him in the end, but not right now. They forsook him and fled, as the scripture says. But yes, the spirit is eager. The flesh is weak.
And again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and he did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time unto them and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Yeah. See, the first time Jesus came, he did want moral support, but the disciples were nodding off. The second time, you could picture them in a deep sleep, so much so that they didn't even know how to answer him. Hmm. And that's a deep sleep. Have you ever been in a recliner? I know on Saturday nights I get back from the radio station. I'm here like from 12 to 6 or 11:30 to 6, something like that. And I'm kind of tired when I get back there and I eat dinner and I kick back mm-hmm. on the lazy boy. And not to imply that that fits my personality. I hope not.
I don't picture you being lazy.
At any rate, I nod off to sleep. And the next thing I know, it's 2 hours later, I wake up and it takes me a minute to realize, where am I? Number one, okay, I'm at home. What day is it? And what time is it? So those three things. And once I get
I need to be somewhere?
Yeah. And so all those things go through your mind. And I think that's pretty much the stupor that the disciples, mm-hmm. That Jesus found the disciples in. And you can imagine how disappointing it was for him.
We'll get to Jesus' response here in just a moment. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying Mark chapter 14 with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia Historical Institute continues to move Lutheran history forward. A Lutheran pastor once said that changing history is history lost. And Concordia Historical Institute continues to serve the church and the community by not only collecting and preserving historical documents, artifacts, fine art associated with Lutheran history, but also sharing those with the church and community. See us at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Do you know how your savings and investments are being used by your commercial financial institution? Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We all need to be comfortable with how our money is being used. Recent market jumps really brought that back home for many of us. That's why investing with LCEF is so attractive for so many LCMS members and organizations. Visit lcef.org or call us at 800-843-5233.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, in studio with Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance. Today we're studying the daily New Testament reading. Pastor, before we go on to verses 43 and following, we were just talking about the last few verses here where the disciples were asleep, Jesus saying, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And you were using a good example of describing what the sleepy ones must be like, that falling asleep in the lazy boy, not really knowing, waking up in a stupor, not really knowing where you are. What is Jesus getting at here? Are you still sleeping, taking a rest? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
Jesus, up to this point, had always said, "My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. And that was kind of a repeated theme, simply because it hadn't come yet. And the time for the crucifixion was not at hand as of yet. But now the time had finally come. So Jesus says, enough of this. Enough of you guys not sleeping, or rather sleeping and not helping me. You haven't helped me. The time has come. The time is at hand. The hour has come. So the time for Jesus to drink the cup of God's wrath, which is what he did. He put himself under God's wrath. And in fact, the Father forsook his only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary on Good Friday, and that's why the Christian person should never fear that God would somehow forsake him or her, because the forsaking has already taken place. And once it's taken place, it can't happen again. If anybody does any forsaking, it's going to have to be you and me that does the forsaking, because God says, "I'm not going to leave you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So Jesus knows what's about to come here, and notice the difference now with Jesus. He started out, he fell on the ground. Jesus was so overcome with grief, with emotion, calling out to his heavenly Father from the very depths of his heart. And now, my goodness, he's kind of changed. He says, "Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand." You know, what? He kind of changed. Like he got some strength. Well, in another account, I believe it's the gospel writer Luke, we see that an angel came and strengthened him. Okay, so this is the strengthened Jesus. Well, you know, if his inner circle of disciples aren't going to do it, God the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. And that's a beautiful thing, just to think about that as well. So Jesus is bold here, and he's ready to face his accusers. He knows exactly what's happening. And before Jesus can even finish saying these words to his disciples, the scripture says immediately. There was not even a hesitation. Judas came, and I don't want to get ahead here of myself or ahead of your reading here, but I'm saying this happened immediately.
So Jesus said, "See my betrayer's hand," and then verse 43, "And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard.' And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, 'Rabbi,' and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him, but one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled.' And they all left him and fled."
Just like Jesus said they would. And it has come true. So immediately there was no hesitation. Here the disciples, I can just picture them. They're getting wide awake now, and Jesus is saying these things. And what's going on here? And they can see I looked this up. We did a little research on it. We think there were approximately, and nobody knows for sure, of course, but we think there were approximately 200 people that came to arrest him. Now, why would they need all those people to come and arrest one person? Well, I got to thinking about that.
One unarmed person.
One unarmed person. And I got to thinking, well, surely they had heard about some of the miracles Jesus had done, and how even at one point in his own hometown, he had disappeared from them and gone off into the crowd and simply disappeared. And so they said, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to get 200 people and we're going to seize him if it's the last thing we do. So that explains the number. And the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish council, which was comprised of the elders and the chief priests, the high priest and others. The high priest wasn't there, we think, but the slave of the high priest, his name was Malchus. And that's the one who had his ear cut off. So the slave of the high priest was there. The scribes were there. They were writers, secretaries who prepared scrolls. And the elders were the community or national leaders, and they were there. And the Roman soldiers, we believe, were there. Why? Because we look at the instruments that they had. Swords were usually carried by Roman soldiers. And clubs were usually carried by temple police. So you have the Roman soldiers there. You have the temple police. I mean, this is quite a band. This must have been overwhelming for the disciples. They say, we don't want any part of this now. We don't want to be arrested. And we don't want, we don't want this to happen to us. And interesting that the sign for the betrayal would be a kiss. The holy kiss was biblical, and this was used men to men, women to women, and vice versa, whatever. This is just a sign of affection and friendship. And so, interesting that the kiss would be used. And I did a little research on that Greek word, and it's an intensified Greek word. So it means that repeatedly, Judas had kissed Jesus. Again and again, not just kiss and that's it. This is the one. I'm going to kiss and now I'm going to back off and you can arrest him. Oh, no. He repeatedly kissed, Judas repeatedly kissed Jesus. This gave temple police, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, an opportunity to seize him. That's the only reason I can think that went on and on. No one knows exactly how long, but it was more than one kiss, according to the background that I studied there. And so that would give them an opportunity to seize him. And he calls Jesus Rabbi, which means teacher. Ordinarily, they would use the word Lord. But in this case, just the word Rabbi. So even here, Judas is saying, I don't really regard him as the Messiah. That's one way of looking at it. And why did Judas even go through with this in the first place? Nobody knows for sure, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's what we know for sure, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's what this is all about, Andy. the fulfillment of a scripture. I mean, if you look back in Isaiah 53, I'll just take just a second here. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed." And then this famous verse, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Who could that be? Who else could that be but Jesus Christ? There is nobody else in history that could be other than Jesus. So Scripture interprets Scripture, and in this case fulfills Scripture. We have the fulfillment of it here.
So he says, "But let the Scriptures be fulfilled," and they all left him and fled.
Yeah. Except for Peter and John, according to another account, they stayed kind of close by for a little while, and then they ended up fleeing as well. And as you know, Peter denied Christ, and he was in the courtyard and so on. So they all ended up leaving and fleeing. That is correct. Just exactly as Jesus. Now, what's interesting here as well, Jesus said, "Have you come out as against a robber, and you have swords and clubs to capture me?" And this is interesting. Jesus says, "Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you didn't seize me." Why not? Why didn't the Sanhedrin and the Jews, why did they not seize him as of yet? Well, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is the result of the scripture being fulfilled. There was no organized plan on their part until Judas came along and said, "Hey, you know, would you like to get this guy that's a threat to you now and a threat to your political power?"
No organized plan of man can accomplish
that's right.
God can accomplish in his word, in his word made flesh.
That's right. And so this is all God's doing and a fulfillment of Holy Scripture. So that's interesting. Yeah, he was in the temple. They never bothered him there or his teaching. And they had all kinds of opportunities to seize him there. Hmm. And they didn't. So, but it sort of was crescendoing and coming to a head here. Jesus, his popularity had grown. As you know, when he taught in the temple, the scripture says, referring to the crowd, "And they were amazed." And that word in the Greek means like you're being struck as by a blow, like somebody hits you in the cheek. "They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught not as the scribes." Not as the scribes taught. So, just this Jesus is the Son of God and God himself. So they captured him that the scripture might be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled. And there's nothing else left but for Jesus to return. As you know, he did suffer and die in your place and mine. A spear was thrust through him. He really was dead. There was no question that he was dead. They didn't have to break his bones, you'll remember, because they saw that he was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that's left is for him to return in all his glory. Mm-hmm. And the dead will be raised, the mortal will put on immortality, and we shall be changed, those who are still alive. So, beautiful thing.
Amen. Two more verses. I don't know what significance there is, but it's still the word of God.
Yes.
51 and 52. "And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked." Or as we'd say, where I grew up, naked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We don't know who this guy was. I've done research on it, and some think that it was Mark himself, that he was writing about himself there. Could be that somebody was awakened in their sleep. What's going on here? And they rushed out in their night clothes or whatever they happened to be wearing there. And in another account, it says that Jesus asked the soldiers to release the disciples, which they did. But here comes somebody that obviously was interested in following Jesus, and Jesus hadn't said anything about him, so they tried to seize him. They didn't know who he was. They were going to find out, are you one of them, or whatever the case might be. But the point of adding this little detail just says to me how very, very accurate the scriptures are. The fact that Mark would add this detail, this is not a fairy tale, or this is not a made-up story. He had to add this detail because it really happened, which encourages you that the previous text really happened as well. So scripture, it's the word of God. Holy men of God spake as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So this is God's word, and you can count on it to be that. And this little detail about a young man fleeing, yeah, they tried to capture him. They grabbed hold of his garment, but the scripture says he left the linen cloth. And because of that, that linen cloth kind of saved him there. They grabbed the cloth, but he quickly ran away. So nothing more is said about it. Maybe it was Mark. Who knows who it was? But the fact that that detail was offered there increases my faith in the veracity of Holy Scripture.
He got away,
sure. Yeah,
but his clothes didn't.
Yeah, that's right. I bet he didn't come back to get him either. I imagine he let that little detail pass as well.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, mm-hmm. looking at this Mark 14, verses right. 32 through 52, Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Then we have his betrayal and arrest and this last little account of a young man fleeing. What can we learn from this text as a whole?
Well, for the Christian person, you have a haven, a refuge in Jesus Christ, who was tempted in every way that we have been, except without sin, of course. You have someone that you can go through and even go to when you are in the very depths, when you are greatly distressed, when you have suffered tragedy and great disappointment in your life, when your friends that you ask for support, maybe you just found out that you have terminal cancer or something like that, so you call a friend, hey, can you come over? No, I got to take Johnny to the ball game. Well, that's mm-hmm. important too. Or I've got an appointment, or, you know, I've got other things to do. I'm busy, but you needed help and you needed it now. So your friends kind of let you down, just like the disciples let Jesus down here. He just wanted a few minutes of moral support there, and they just didn't cooperate. So when others seem to let you down, there's one who will never let you down. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. So knowing that Jesus himself went through all of this, and that even this suffering was nothing in comparing to the bearing of the sins of all the sins I've ever committed, all the sins I'm ever going to commit before I die, were all borne by Christ. I helped to put him on the cross. You helped to put him on the cross. Every person who has ever lived on the face of this globe or will ever live helped to put Jesus Christ on the cross because he bore the sins of all people. And that's a message that we worldwide KFUO wants to get out. Go ahead.
He did so willingly.
Yeah. Yeah, he submitted himself to the Father's will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only hesitation there was, you know, the fact that he's a man and the fact that he was just crying out from the very depths of his heart. So when you know that you have a Savior who has loved you willingly, that's a good word to use, willingly.
Yeah, he said, then, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down by my own accord.
That's right. So then you have a Savior you can go to. And you know that he willingly will listen, willingly, because he willed himself to die.
Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO. Thanks so much for being our guest, Pastor.
Thank
coming
you.
In and spending some time in studio with me today, helping us study God's Word in Mark chapter 14. Always great to get some studio time with you. Always love visiting with you, too.
And same here.
Most importantly, studying God's Word together.
Yes, it was wonderful, and Andy, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thank you very much for the privilege of being here in the studio. What a fascinating text, and what a reassurance for your faith and mine that all of this really happened. It took place, and that little detail that's added there, that just tells me this is it, man. This is the real McCoy.
Indeed, indeed. God's blessings, Pastor Hawkinson.
Thank you. Same to you.
More His time on the way on Worldwide KFUO.